I'm Carlos Virgen, and this is The Storyline, produced by The Day in New London, Connecticut.
No tolls. I want to live in the state for the rest of my life, and I want to be able to afford it.
I already, for the most part, do avoid states with tolls as much as possible. I sometimes ride around them. You know, it just depends on where my load is going.
It's important to keep the roads safe and in good condition. And, you know, if the money goes for that, then I'm fine with it.
In the past week, we published a series of stories giving the issue of possible tolling in Connecticut a comprehensive look. Part of the series included reader feedback that we collected via email, social media, and CuriousCT, our reader-powered initiative that I introduced in the last Storyline episode. If you haven't already, go back and listen to that episode to get more info. This week, I welcome reporter Lindsay Boyle, who led the tolling series effort.
Tolls are on everyone's minds here in Connecticut. That's not going to come as a surprise to anyone. And we wanted to do our own comprehensive look at really what is on the table and what it could actually mean for all of you. And I think the best way to do that, of course, is to include your input and you being the readers, in which we asked you to let us know what your commutes are, what your jobs are, what your concerns are. And I will say some of the feedback I got was super thoughtful.
Can you give us a quick overview of the three proposals that we looked at, the governor and then the other two?
Basically, there are two major proposals being debated, but then there are two other proposals. So let's talk about the two major ones. The first one, of course, is Governor Ned Lamont's plan, which was built with input from the State Department of Transportation. His plan calls for, I think, about 50 gantries, so the little things that actually scan your plate and will charge you. It calls for about 50 of those on four highways. So that's interstates 84, 91, 95, and then State Route 15 or the Merritt Parkway. So it would have 50 spread across, probably at about 6 miles distance between them. And then the rates are basically 5.5 cents per mile if it's on peak and you're a Connecticut Easy Pass holder, 4.4 cents per mile if it's on peak and you're a Connecticut Easy Pass holder, or more for each of those if you're not a Connecticut Easy Pass holder. So the idea is that the Connecticut Easy Pass can earn you 30% discount. In addition to that, there are higher rates still for certain sized trucks, tractor trailers, things like that. So it's very much still in flux, but that's the only one that really gave us an estimate in terms of what this could cost.
Right.
The other two proposals that are still pro-toll, one is out of the state Senate, one is out of the state House. Both are still Democrat built. Neither of those actually puts figures. So one of them would actually build or calls for a transportation authority that would kind of be in charge of doing that work. So that's the House bill. The Senate bill actually leaves it on legislators to set the toll prices. And I think the idea is that there would be some accountability there from the voters. So those elements of those proposals could be built into Lamont's, and then one final bill comes out that gets the vote, right?
Right.
Then you have the Republicans in Connecticut, who most of them have been very much anti-toll this whole time. So they've come up with the Prioritize Progress Plan. Each year, the state is allowed to bond or borrow $2 billion. It uses part of that, takes part of that money, and dedicates it to transportation. So it would start funding the DOT next year, 2020, with $700 million, which is what the DOT asked for. And then in each of the next 30 years would dedicate a set amount of bonding for the DOT. So, you know, they are painting that as a pro because the DOT gets funding right away. It's consistent. It's what the DOT wants. And I say that, I should have mentioned earlier, obviously tolls aren't going to go in overnight. The earliest they would start collecting money is probably 2023.
Right.
So, you know, the concern about the Republican plan is, well, if you take $700 million of bonding, A, you're definitely bonding, you're borrowing. and B, what other projects are not going to get funded.
Right.
Earlier, you talked about getting input from our readers. Can you give us any highlights of some of the people that you talked to?
We were able to just set up a really easy to use form, right? Like, you just give us your name, or you tell us whether you want to be anonymous or not. You write your concerns in this little fill out form that we have on our website, right? Sure. So we got more than 40 responses that way. But in addition to that, people who read the paper and just wanted to go the old school route, a lot of people emailed me. I put stuff on Twitter and Facebook, so I got responses that way. And being the data nerd that I am, we pulled it all into a spreadsheet so that we could analyze it for pro con. So I could see, like, are there similar themes emerging here? What are the different voices that I should get in this story? Like, what are the narratives I should really represent? So once I'd done that, I picked out, I think, about 8 people that I emailed individually and asked, you know, hey, you responded to this poll. Would you be interested in meeting in person to tell me more? I want to hear more about your commute, more about your thoughts. And I had several people who were responsive to that idea. The 4 I ended up highlighting in this long form, I had 2 who were pro toll for different reasons. One has a long commute and he used to live in the Boston area and come to Connecticut. So he's like, well, I think it's just highway robbery that I can drive here for free, or, you know, that I did drive here for free for all those years.
Anyway, I've been commuting back and forth between Massachusetts and Connecticut for 4 years before coming back to live here permanently a year ago. And so we would drive the Mass Pike and pay our tolls and then get to Connecticut and essentially ride scot-free. If we happened to buy gas, we would, you know, obviously be paying for some transportation with gas tax. But for the most part, you know, we were one of those 40% out-of-staters who were riding the roads of Connecticut for free. And it just strikes me as just, it's not right.
And then I had 2 who were anti-toll. One was just very much came at it from a fiscally conservative argument, and I couldn't even tell. I could not tell the whole time I talked to him if he's a Democrat or a Republican. But he expressed to me, having lived here for so long, that he's just frustrated the state doesn't seem to consider spending, reducing spending, that is, first. So why are we talking about another revenue, when it doesn't seem that we've tried to pull things in?
So I've been increasingly dissatisfied with the state of Connecticut, and it's not always a tax thing. It's become a value thing, and I think that's like, yeah, can we do tolls? Sure, we can do tolls. Is it the right thing? I don't know. But where I'm exhausted as a citizen, not just a taxpayer, not talking about my money, I don't feel like we're getting to the root of problems with what we're doing and the way we're doing it.
The other guy I talked to who was anti-toll is on a fixed income. And that was another common concern among the readers who responded is, you know, we can't make more. This is what we are getting for the rest of our lives. How are we expected to keep paying?
And the people on fixed income are consumers. So there again, they get hit. So they get backed into a corner because they don't qualify for no income area because they still have some fruits of their labor through Social Security. And some people have pensions. I'm fortunate enough to do that. I have that. I can make it. I'm probably better than average off far as pension income comes in, because I saved since I was in my 20s. A lot of people can't. They just don't have it, and I feel for them. I see it when I address people in the community during senior events when I'm speaking about fraud. There are a lot of people in distress situations, and it's just an extra burden for them. There's no way around it.
And the other thing that I didn't necessarily get to represent, but I saw a lot of, were small business owners who have employees driving all over and really are concerned they'd have to pass any toll costs on to customers.
Right. And there was one in particular, a woman that talked about the possibility of having to change her job because of her commute, right?
Yeah. So I also had a couple nurses respond, just in that 40, that pool of 40 readers were three nurses, I think, most of whom traveled significant amounts to their jobs and all of whom expressed loving their jobs. So the one that I did meet up with, her name's Sandy, she has a house that she's paid off in Pawcatuck that she loves. That's not negotiable for her. She's not leaving Pawcatuck. She works in Northford, which is basically, I think, north of Branford. And, you know, that's a hefty commute. She's on 95 for a lot of her day. And she said that were she to have to pay $1,500 more a year, she's not going to be able to go to her job and ask for that in a raise,
right,
just because the state changed its policies.
Right.
So she thinks she'd have to leave the job, and she's really sad about that.
We've obviously been covering the various aspects of the proposed bills that are being considered. And every time we post about tolls, we get a bunch of comments on our site and in social. Do you think that the input that we receive from the readers reflected the overall reaction that we've been seeing across the board?
I mean, I'll say this with a caveat here. You know, I want to specify that the poll that we got and the emails that I got and the comments that I see, we can't possibly say whether that's reflective of the general opinion.
Right.
That said, yeah, I mean, the response that I got from the Curious CT survey is very similar to the response that our readers have on Facebook, on comments underneath our stories. And basically what that amounted to was kind of 7 in 10 against the idea. Again, I caution against using that as public opinion. Yeah, you know,
that doesn't represent right. the general public, but
it was pretty much in line with what I expected. Actually, I think the people who are in favor of tolls surprised me a little bit, especially because some of them are people who have longer commutes and will be affected. I wasn't expecting that necessarily. But yeah, I think I wasn't surprised by the reaction. I was surprised by the variety of commutes that people are doing. I mean, people are going all over the state. It's kind of wild, but
yeah.
I mean, I live in Hamden, so I guess I shouldn't be that surprised. But.
So let's talk about that. Part of the project was developing a toll calculator based on one of the proposals, and I think it's the governor's proposal.
Correct.
Just so that we could give people the opportunity to kind of map out their daily commute or weekly commute and get a sense of what at least one proposal, one scenario might affect what it would cost them per year. How did so you did that for yourself? What are you looking at?
So our toll calculator is based on driving on peak as a Connecticut Easy Pass holder. So,
and we just looked at 95.
Just 95, which is the only one I used and what a lot of our readers use. So I think mine was something like $1,500 a year for my, I'm a typical 5 day a week. I drive right around 7 a.m. and then I go home around 3 p.m. Those are both considered on peak times.
Mm-hmm.
So my commute would be $1,500 more per year.
And is that the discounted?
That's with the Connecticut Easy Pass discount. That's just one proposal that's still changing, but that's a look at how much it could cost me.
Yeah, mine I think was less than 200.
Right. Lucky you.
So what's next in this whole toll debate? What are we looking at the state level in Hartford?
Well, I think I just saw this morning there are 33 or 34 days left of the legislative session. Obviously, this is a hotly contested issue. So the Dems, like I said, there are three proposals, Lamont, the House, the Senate. So they have to sit down and really think what's the proposal we might be able to get passed if that's what they want, which it is. Meanwhile, the Republicans are still garnering support for this prioritized progress, which suggests that, you know, maybe we don't need to create new revenue at all. Maybe we can do this within our means. Right. So I think both sides have strong arguments, and I don't actually personally have an opinion as to how this is going to go.
Do you think, is there a sense that something might be accomplished in this legislative session?
Well, if you talk to the politicians, yes. I mean, they each think that their version is going to get passed. You know, this isn't the first year that tolls have been brought up. Actually, I think in each of the last 3 years they have been. It is the first time that the governor has strongly thrown his support behind one of the options, which obviously in Lamont's case is pro-toll. Which has some voters pretty mad because he kind of did change his mind on that. But I think that with that in mind, it has a stronger possibility to actually make it to a vote and either pass or fail. But you just never know what's going to happen in Hartford.
All right. And the other kind of and the other anti-toll groups continue to hold rallies, and some of our local representatives are holding town hall meetings and kind of informational meetings with people. So people can look out for that if they want any more information. Anything else?
No, I think the grassroots movement against tolls is certainly a strong one. It'll be interesting to see how that continues to build in the next month or so.
So that's an interesting point. I haven't, and it's possible, I'm sure there may be other groups that are for tolls that are holding some of these types of meetings, but I haven't really come across that on social media. It seems like the majority of the voices that are vocal and outspoken on social media seem to be the groups and people and politicians that are against tolls.
Yeah. So the major group is No Tolls CT, right? There's definitely, that I've seen, there's not a corresponding pro tolls CT kind of group, which maybe that's just the nature of protesting. It's easier to organize people against something than in support of it. Right. But certainly I haven't seen as much vocal support.
Well, thank you for all your hard work.
Thanks for having me.
We heard sound clips of interviews with readers Tim Sperry, Scott Mattson, and Michael Hugyo. We would also like to thank WTNH Channel 8 in Connecticut for letting us use audio of toll protests you heard at the start of the episode. Check out our series on Connecticut tolls at theday.com/CTtolls and get more details on Curious CT at theday.com/CuriousCT. You can also let us know what you're curious about by using the submission form you'll find at that link. Thanks for tuning in.